the secretary can we check if we have a quorum?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning everyone on the platform. Chair, we have currently 6 members on the platform. We're correct. We can proceed with the meeting, Chair. Shall I do a roll call, Chair?
Yes, please proceed.
Chair, Mr. Malamatia.
Morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Morning.
Recording in progress.
Chair, Mr. Mbuyani.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Thring.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Mulder.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert.
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mutahung.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Prince Burns Namashi.
Molo Salo Namalung Committee.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mwatsi is still trying to join us. She's trying to on the platform. Those are the names I have on that's on the platform. I don't see Mr. McPherson's name, Chair, at the moment. He may still join us. And Mr. Dr. Tuaku at the moment, Chair. But he must still join us.
Yeah, okay. That's fine. We can proceed. We have a quorum. Can we just check, are there any apologies?
As indicated, I have not received any apologies. If there is, I will probably receive it in the course of the day, but I assume members are still joining. If not, I will communicate with you if I receive any apology later.
Okay, fine. Then can we just get a move and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes?
Chair, the agenda?
Sorry, yes, the agenda, yep.
Ms. Mutahung, Chair.
Honorable Mutahung.
Thanks, Chair. I move for adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Can we have a seconder for the adoption of the agenda?
Chair, Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the proposal that we adopt the agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So our agenda is adopted. So the rest of our agenda looks at the briefing by ITAC on its fourth quarter financial and non-financial performance for 2021-2022. And then we'll also consider the oversight report. So members, the purpose of this meeting, as we have just looked at the agenda, is to get a briefing from ITAC and engage on its financial and non-financial performance for the fourth quarter for the 2021-2022 financial year. This is so that the committee can assess the performance of the entity against its resource allocation in compliance with Section 5 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and the Related Matters Act. Can I just then hand over to the person leading the delegation on behalf of the department and the entity? Who is that, Ms. Sturman?
I think Ms. From the DTIC, Chair, it would be, just give me a sec, Chair, it will be Ms. Matomela, and from the ICAC, it will be Mr. Mbombo.
Okay.
Chair, just to note that Mr. Hussein has joined the meeting, Chair.
Okay. That's fine. Welcome, Honourable McPherson. Honourable, over to you, Ms. Matomela.
It appears Ms. Matomela is not on the platform as yet, so I would suggest we proceed with the...
Okay, yes, let's proceed then with ITE. Over to the team.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. I will try to share the screen so that it can be visible from your side. Am I audible, Chair?
Chair, sorry, yes, you are audible. You can proceed.
Thanks. I'm sharing the screen. Can you see it from your side?
Yes, we can see. You may proceed. I think you must just go into
I'll proceed, Chair. I can't hear you though, the last part.
Yes, we wanted you to go to your in slide mode, because now we can see your document, your PDF screen.
Okay. You can see it now?
No. I think you need to go to view and then you can then do the slides.
Our view is on the top there. Chi, I can chi as well.
Mr. Mbambo, there we go. Yeah. That's correct. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
You may proceed.
All right, then. It's an introduction in the beginning. Our contents will be the introduction, the policy framework, the key strategic objectives and performance areas and services, tariff investigations, trade remedies, import and export control, human resource management, and the financial performance lastly. Moving on to the next slide, whoever is helping me has disabled me on the other side, so I'll ask them to go to the next slide, which is slide 4, is okay. What we are saying in this slide is that ITEC locates itself within the broader policy framework of government. We always do that by aligning ourselves with the policy framework of government. And as you know, members, the NGP, the National Growth Path, has placed employment at the center of industrial policy. And the master plans are actually our guiding light. What we do, we are also directed by the broader government policy, which are the policies that I've mentioned. And this slide, the introduction, is just talking to that. Next slide, please. The next slide, slide 6, what we are doing today is just to give you a summary of what ITEC does. It is the key strategic objectives of ITEC and the performance areas and services. If you look at on your left, these are just the key performance areas. We contribute to employment by using instruments, trade policy instruments. These are customs tariff investigation, the trade remedies, and import and export control. We will go in detail to this in the next few slides. We also, like I said earlier, we also ensure that we are aligned to the broader government policy. And so the alignment is something that we do all the time. If there is a certain policy change in government, we ensure that the institution is aligned to the policy change. The last part, it's our business support services, which ensures organizational efficiency and effectiveness by ensuring that we meet our targets, we meet our timelines. Next slide, please. This slide is just an indication that just showing the trend analysis in terms of the investigations that we have received and that's and those that we have approved over a period starting from 2003 to 2022. Members, you will see that from 2003 to 2007, we were not approving a lot of applications of tariff increases. Most of this was because of the policy in government. As I said, we align ourselves to government policy. There was a liberalization drive in government around this period, and duties were not approved all the time. And when you look at the dip, which is 2007 and 2009, there is just the economic recession. But now, where we are now, the next graph, it's the next graph. So when you see that, it's clear now that we are approving a lot of applications from ITEC. We receive a lot and we approve a lot. And this is because there was a realization from government that as we continue to liberalize, our trading partners were not, and we ended up with a situation where our duties were very low as compared to our trading partners. So it is just a trend analysis. You see, we are getting a lot of applications, and we, the commission is approving a lot of tariff increases, given that our bound rate is actually very low, and the industries need tariff support. So we've given a lot of tariff support in the past few years or so. Thank you. Can we move on to the next slide? This slide only just talks to the investigations that have been completed during this period. The investigations that we do, it's tariff increases and mostly rebates. The tariff increases where an industry requires tariff support and they are manufacturing the products internally, and they come to us and tell us that, look, we are not able to compete with the imported products, so we require some assistance in terms of tariff support. With the rebate, it's where the industry, either they will be asking us to waive customs duties on inputs that they use in their production processes, or they just want us to remove duties temporarily because the product is not available in the domestic market. We are also very active on this one. But also maybe just to add here, it's where we request the industry to give us what we call reciprocal commitment on this one. A reciprocal commitment is a new policy from government also, where there is a realization that industries, when you give them the support, their focus correctly so will be their bottom line, their profit. So we have to state it in clearly or have legally binding reciprocal commitments in terms of what they will do to contribute to the overall government objectives of employment creation and increased production. So in most of these investigations now, we request them to also commit to government objectives that we do, and we do a review after 3 or 5 years, depending on what the agreement is, to find out if the industry did meet government objectives as promised when they got the tariff support. So this is an important slide because we are no longer just hoping that they will create employment, but we ask them to commit to creating employment. So it is part of their motivation that the commissioners will look at when they decide to support the industry. Next slide, please. The slide is about the incentive program that ITEC administers on behalf of the DTI. It's a flagship program of government. I will not bore my members with the percentages and everything. What is important with the slide is that the incentives are based on volumes and value addition. So the more volumes you manufacture when it comes to the OEMs, you get more incentives, and the more value addition you achieve in the domestic markets, you also get higher incentives. So the pillars of the program is just value addition in the domestic market, which ensures that we create jobs in the domestic market. And then the volumes, we are just trying to make sure that they become a bigger global player in the market. They do not only focus on low volumes that are targeted at the South African market. There's a realization that in order to grow, you need to produce high volumes. So for the OEMs, we try to incentivize or give higher incentives to those who produce a higher volume. Next slide, please. This slide is still explaining the automotive industry. And then let's go to the trade remedy slide, the next one. On the trade remedies, honorable members, is the instrument, part of the instruments that we use to support industries. But these are a little bit different from tariff support because it's what we call defensive measures. They try to look at unfair trade, not necessarily look at supporting industries in terms of policy, but it deals with unfair trade. In the first one, the anti-dumping measures are those that look at products that arrives at the domestic market at a cheaper price, actually at a lower price than what they are selling in their own domestic market. So we term this as dumping, and we act if it causes injury to the domestic market. The second one is countervailing measures. This looks at subsidies. So there are products or there are countries that subsidize certain products, and by the time they reach here, South African markets or the SACO markets, they are very cheap because of the action of the domestic countries where they offer incentives. So the countervailing measures are used to try and address subsidies. But I'll just add maybe that this one is not used. It has never been used actually. The reason is that it tends to be a political issue because the subsidies are provided by countries, not firms, whereas the other measures that we are looking at, it is firms that are trying to break the rules. But here, the countervailing measures, it's a country that does it. So ITEC will have to go against the country. In most cases, it is better if it's a government-to-government, not an institution like ITEC trying to stop subsidies of another country. So it is hardly used. We hardly use this one. We have never used it at ITEC. The sunset reviews are it's reviewing the anti-dumping measures. The anti-dumping measures are actually they have got a time frame of about 5 years, and after the 5 years we have to review it. So these sunset reviews, we conduct them to review the anti-dumping measure. The last one is the safeguard measures. This is just to counter a sudden and unexpected increase of imported products in the domestic market. It's not an unfair trade measure. It's a fair trade measure. It is just a safety valve that ensures that if there is a sudden and unexpected increase of a product, we can be able to act using this measure. All these measures are duties, honorable members, that we impose against the imported product. They've got different names, and they are used in different situations, but we should just remember it's all duties, all customs duties. Next slide, please. So these are just the anti-dumping investigations that we have done under on this financial period. So it's a number of them. What we have seen now is that there's been an increase in the anti-dumping investigations. there was a time when we didn't get a lot of anti-dumping investigation because we couldn't prove the dumping as it was too strict to prove it, and China was given a market economy status, so you couldn't even use another country to determine the dumping of China. But now we have seen a number of investigations coming in, and our anti-dumping unit is very busy. So it's a positive for us, because as we run out of policy space within the tariff, tariff increases, we are able to look at anti-dumping and assist industries where products are being dumped in the domestic market. Next slide, please. The last one in terms of the instruments that we use is import and export control. This one, it's where we have got a few goods that are controlled by ITEC. I'll make an example, for instance, of secondhand goods. We try to ensure that we do not allow a lot of secondhand goods because we've got industries that produce some of the products. The motor industry that I mentioned earlier, where we've got the automotive, we've got the incentive scheme that focuses on automotive. If you were to allow secondhand cars, for instance, like what the neighboring countries do, what you will have is that people will not buy the new cars. They will buy the secondhand from Japan and from all over the world, which is actually very affordable. So it can tend to undermine the domestic industry. So we try to control this. We need to give us good reasons why you want to be issued with a permit for a secondhand product in the domestic market. Second slide, please. Here we are moving from the technical part of ITEC to the human resources management. And this slide just shows the gender profile and the race profile at ITEC. In terms of gender, we've got 60% females and 40% males. And in terms of race, it's 86% Africans, 4% Indians, 2% color, and 8% white. Next slide, please. So this still represents the previous slide. Let's go to the next one. In terms of the financial performance, honorable members, we just before 2018, ITEC was not doing well, very well in terms of our financial position. The expenditure was far exceeding the revenue transfer that we get from the DTI. But we are pleased to report that we are currently doing much better now. The management of the financial resources has improved, but this can largely be attributed to a very high vacancy rate and the lack of traveling as a result of COVID-19. So we are trying to do more by using a few people. So those vacancies, we try to fill those that we need. But those that we think we can use other people to do the work, we don't fill them. And this has given us some savings. So we think we can still try to trim more, repurpose the organization to ensure that everyone in the ITEC is engaged and we do not have a lot of money going to salaries and less going to operations. So you see that we have accumulated a small surplus, which will be depleted actually if we do continue filling some of the vacancies. And as the country moves from lockdown to an active economy, you might have a lot of traveling that will take the surplus. And so this might be a temporary situation, but we are happy to report that we are no longer a going concern. We have got some surplus that I expect. Next slide, please. This slide is just showing the transfers that we get from government. and our actual budget and the expenditure that is incurred by ITEC. Thank you. Next slide, please. This one is still explaining the previous one. Thank you. Can we go to the next one? Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the 2022, the accumulated surplus is just around 20 million, and 2021 we ended up at around 7 million. Thank you. Next slide, please. That's the end of the presentation, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I will now take hands. That was the presentation of the International Trade Administration Commission of South Africa. I see the hand of Honorable Cuthbert, Honorable McPherson, Honorable Motahung.
Okay, I can't raise my hand.
Okay, Honorable Alamacha. Honorable Dr. Swaku. Honorable Burns Mamashe. Honorable Mwatse. Okay, in that order, Honorable String. Honourable Cuthbert, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, firstly, I'm quite horrified by the lack of preparation for this presentation. I mean, I think the colleagues can bear me out here that when we have other entities that come and present to us, it's a lot better presented, and there seems to have been a bit more thought put into the presentation. And I understand there's a few staffing challenges at ITEC at this moment in time, but I don't think that excuses them from bringing a substandard presentation to the committee. From a more technical side of things, Chair, I'm quite horrified to also hear what the Deputy Commissioner has to say in terms of, you know, preserving policy space. There's been no mention of specialization or comparative advantage in the tariff applications and the way in which they process these tariff applications. It's rather to try and preserve as much policy space as possible, and this is a line that the WTO ambassador has used on us repeatedly. And this means that there's no discernment for whether or not we are actually comparative in a certain good and whether or not an industry itself is actually self-competitive and doesn't need government protection just to survive for the sake of it. And in each and every slide that we went through from the technical side of things, it was, you know, protectionism and protectionism and more protectionism without any, you know, I think, understanding or, you know, consideration for the economics at play. And I find that to be particularly concerning in itself, and that things are not necessarily taken, you know, from an empirical and evidence-based point of view, but rather just as, you know, lackeys of the localization and the minister's whim. And I think that that is particularly concerning. So comments aside, Chair, as a particular question, can we please be provided with in 7 days a list of all of the goods that have been subject to the localization policy, so that's the 20% of non-petroleum goods, what tariff applications have been applied for, what has been granted and the measures that have been granted, and what the value is there of that to the economy, and also as much as the jobs that are pledged for the particular applications that are either under consideration or that have been approved. It's fine if they're able to respond to us verbally in this meeting, but I think it's very important that we have that in writing as a document that we can refer to later on down the line. Also, from an HR perspective, just to understand, how far are they in recruiting a new commissioner? Because I understand that Commissioner Nzimande left to go back to the private sector, and I imagine that was a couple of months ago when he announced he was going back to PwC. Can we please get some information as to when a new person is going to be appointed and what the process is? And I also see that they're short of a chief economist, and I'd like to understand how long that has been the case and when that particular individual will be appointed as well, so we can know that there is, you know, the relevant vacancies that have been filled. I can't understand how an entity operates with two key positions not having been filled. If there's anything else that arises later on, then I'll raise my hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Cuthbert. Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to echo the comments of Honourable Cuthbert. I think that was substandard and embarrassing of a presentation. That a presentation could be given in 20 minutes from an entity is just not good enough. I mean, we are normally, and sometimes we're begging people after 2 hours to please stop their presentation, but you can come and give a presentation on an important entity like this in 20 minutes. It just speaks to a lack of preparedness and tardiness, and I really do use the words embarrassing. I think that the entity should be embarrassed by that presentation. But that aside, I want to know from the entity, from ITAG, what their views are on reducing poultry tariffs on imported chicken to assist low-income poor South Africans that require poultry as the cheaper source of protein. Do they believe that they are not required or mandated to put the best interest of the of consumers when they decide on tariffs? So would they support a reduction in tariffs on poultry? And the second question I'd like to ask is, why does the Commission continue to act with speed on politically expedient issues on tariffs, but those that are not policy priorities or policy space, as they would refer to it, why those take ages and ages and ages to be dealt with? So those are my two questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable McPherson. Honourable Motau.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me welcome the presentation from ITAC. I have a few questions for ITAC, Honourable Chair. What role is the department playing in terms of economic recovery and structural transformation? Noting that ITAC is an entity of government which should be contributing towards transformation and economic growth. On the import permit issued, you issued 4,788 permits against the target of 4,000. What is the reason for the excess of permit issued? Lastly, Chair, on the permit that are being issued, is it possible that ITAC can give us some stats to say how many women are being issued by this permit or youth, both women and youth, the stats of permit issued? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Motau. Honourable Dr. Twaku.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just the permission to switch on my video.
Okay, that's fine. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I think I'm a fan of short to the point presentations. And then if there's something that maybe I need clarity on, I'll say probably can I get a clarification on one particular, because some of the people, they come with a very long presentation and at the process I just get very confused. But maybe on our side we should look in terms of maybe if we need something, some more information, let's get the resolution tracker going, so that we see in terms of what we ask from the speakers who are presenting. But one of my questions, Chair, would be to say the government needs to protect some industries which are actually labor absorbing industries. So we need to do that. How do we do that? By increasing the tariffs. By increasing the tariffs, it's one of the questions that I wanted to ask the entity, is that what have they seen in terms when they increase a tariff on certain goods, then people tend to buy local, because you're not, it's like I always say, in 1994, we are featherweight. We are in the featherweight, and we were put in the ring with heavyweights. we just opened up our economy and all things went haywire. Because many South Africans, they don't buy local stuff because it's easier to import than to, you know, it's easier to import, you know, something than to really, you know, have it, you know, being manufactured here. So I wanted to ask about if has the department, so has the ITEC done any study to say if we increase the import tariffs on these goods, we found that now we are creating localized industries. So people are starting to be creative. If let's say you are in, you are increasing tariffs on, let's say on a control valve or on a particular equipment, then you find that you've got smart brains here in South Africa which are able to develop or manufacture that valve that you can manufacture in South Africa. Have they done that? Now, I wanted to ask a question, and it's always been ringing on my head. Why the ITEC allowed, or through the Department of Trade Industry, allowed the USA to dump chickens in South Africa? Why do we have to import chickens in Brazil where we have the capacity? I mean, to breed chicken, I did that during the lockdown. I mean, I did 1,000. That thing is very simple. Why do we have to get chickens somewhere else as well? Maybe there is something, maybe you've got some bilateral agreement, but why do we do that? Why do we risk having an industry that can create jobs? We have not increased tariffs there so that we're able to produce those chickens locally. So I think maybe I'll get a proper answer there. And then also, Chair, I wanted to check, you know, Cape Town used to have a lot of textile everywhere, you know. There was a big, you know, a boom on textile industry here local. We've got people who can need, who can, you know, sew dress, nice dresses and all of that. Now, why can't we there also increase tariffs so that we are able to stimulate that textile industry here? Why did we lower these tariffs and then we've got a lot of fake things or a lot of people, because many people now are actually importing clothes, using the new apps now where you can just import anything and anything from overseas. Why don't we increase tariffs on this so that we're able to create our industries here? So I mean, the firm believer that the government must be able to protect these labor absorptive industries. And that's one of the things that, because we are serious about jobs, you know, the creation, we can't compete there with those, you know, like the first world, because South Africa is a developing country. We're still coming from the legacy of apartheid. And we need to ensure that we create jobs. How do one of the things to create jobs? Look at the other examples, is to ensure that industries are protected, especially the labor absorptive ones. So those are my questions, Chair. I wanted to check also, therefore, the 2.5 million on legal fees. What legal or litigation are they involved in as the ITC? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Prince Burns Namashe.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Honourable Chair, I just can't help not to put things into perspective. I'm sure all of us in this committee and the broader community of South Africa is fast becoming impatient and intolerant for reports and planning about planning, reports about reports. And then surely, this entity must be commended for being efficient in changing the tide. You know, even if it has been so rather there's an obsession of ANC government as a devil. But at least there's a say that says, give a devil his due. The reality of the matter, Chair, here is that the opposition party, especially the Democratic Alliance, will never be happy about anything and everything good that is being done by the ANC government and its departments and institutions under those departments. So South Africans must make no illusion that, okay?
Honorable, can we just, there's a point of order that's been called.
Yes.
Honorable Cuthbert.
Thank you very much, Chair. Not to derail the soliloquy that Honourable Burns is giving us, but is this not an opportunity to ask questions to RTAC rather than providing commentary on opposition parties?
It's a political statement. I'll allow it, Honourable Cuthbert. Honourable Burns, Namashe, please proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair, for your ruling. It was really, I was just responding to a political statement that was made. And South Africans have a right to know what is right and what is being distorted. Let me come to the question. You know, the South African economy, Honorable Chair, loses on average about 250 million a day in illicit trade. And the question would be, what measures has the department adopted working with the South African Revenue Services to pay up this? Because we believe that this entity has an important work in ensuring that all these kind of illicit trade practices are put to zero, so as to ensure that we don't lose a cent for the benefit of the broader community of South Africa. So that would be my question. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Moatse.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm covered by Honorable Banks on the issue of the under-invoicing. Then I will want to know, Chairperson, I saw there is a problem of counterfeit goods that find themselves in the country causing serious losses for the fiscus. Then what is ITEC doing to combat this? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sabine.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just three questions. The first has to do with the slide 7, tariff investigations, trend analysis of tariff increases. The presenter of the presentation indicated that the tariff increases or investigations have done a lot with regards to the tariff increases or investigations. Now, the term a lot is relative. So if I look at the actual bar graph and one looks at the number of applications versus the number of positive determinations for increases for 2021-22, it shows the number four. So, you know, for some, four may be a lot, and for others, four may be a dismal figure. So could he define what a lot is, because he didn't give any figures when he says that with regards to that particular slide, ITAC has done a lot. Then secondly, could we identify the name of the countries that are guilty of dumping, and what measures have been taken against them? So let's name these countries. Whether it's the United States, whether it's Brazil, whether it's European countries that are guilty, whether it's China, or is all of them. But let's name the countries and what measures have been taken against them. And then my last question is, has ITAC identified the industries or the sectors where we have, and I think Honorable Cuthbert made reference to this, but have those sectors been identified where we have both a comparative as well as a competitive advantage? And then have we been able to utilize these advantages to advance economies of scale? If we have not, why? But if we have, which of these sectors or industries do we have these comparative competitive advantages where we have looked at increasing our or taking advantage in terms of advancing economies of scale? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Malamacha, my apologies for skipping you. My apologies. You may proceed.
No, thanks, Chair. There's no problem. Thank you very much. Let me also join Comrade Mudawun to welcome the presentation. It is not always the case that people will come with a long presentation and think that we are getting the gist of the presentation. Sometimes it helps that you be straight to the point so that we are able not to be confused, because some other people will come to impress using this English that will cater those that went to good schools, only to find that it is not necessarily speaking to what we want to hear. However, bearing in mind the inception of this from, I think it will be 19 years today and 8 of tomorrow, it is just one is very concerned about the number of the graduates that we produce, number of who are running around, and one will therefore conclude by asking this question, that noting that there's no reporting on the recruitment of interns and graduates, does ITAC have a program of integrating graduates within the entity so to assist to make education fashionable? Because if people go to school, they graduate, they don't do anything. Yes, we are in charge of giving government entities, but they are not assisting. It can also be a problem. Your slide number 7, you will agree with me that since 2007 to 2008, one was a bit convinced when you say it's the economical meltdown that led to the recession. Now, 2010 to 2014, there was a serious improvement. I fully agree. I just want you to confirm to me whether 2021 is due to COVID-19. If so, I don't think we need to hammer you. We need to understand that it means from 2021, because we are in a COVID-19 pandemic, going to 2022, you are increasing, then the load can be justified. Or you will just confirm this. Thank you very much, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much once again, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation. It's very much straightforward and very informative, Chairperson. I just wanted to allude to the fact that the mandate of the ITAC is to regulate imports and export goods in South Africa. is to foster economic growth, also tariff investigation, trade remedies, and fair trade agreements. I wanted to check in terms of the rules of unfair trade, one which will be dumping, countervailing, and also safeguarding the increased import. Chairperson, I wanted to check from the presentation the negative impact of the anti-dumping on the South African economy. How is the entity being able to mitigate this negative unfair trade of dumping? The other one, in terms of the impact of the ITEC on the fourth quarter underspending of the 21% on the overall expenditure of the 21-22 financial year. Maybe also to explain the reasons for underspending on salaries, wage, and also the legal fees. And that will be able to assist me. The other one, Chair, is the issue of the protectionists. Really, we need to understand from the ITEC, do they have companies which are part of the protectionist program? And how many are they? And in which commodities that they dealing with? So that we understand that now the economy is very much concentrated. The economy is on the hands of the few that they are currently standing here. And we want to check what is the process of transformation around those imports, and also assisting like industrialist program to move and be part of the import and export program. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. I have a question on your investigations into garlic and pasta. What are the reasons for the delay in the finalization of those two trade remedy investigations? And ITEC produced several reports in the quarter. What are the outcomes of these reports, and what is the impact of these reports on the economy? I'll hand back to you, Mr. Mbambo, to deal with the questions. Thank you, and the responses.
Thank you, Chair. And some of the questions I will also request my colleagues on the line, Mzobe and Philip, to assist the GM.
Yeah, that's important.
Thank you. I'll start with the first question. Maybe just to clarify the policy space that you were referring to. When you join the WTO, you commit to certain level of import tariffs that you can impose to any product that comes to your territory. When we are talking about policy space under tariffs, we are talking about the difference between that commitment under the WTO and the applied rate. So if, for instance, we committed that we will not exceed 50% on vehicles, but now we are at 45%, which it means that the 5% is our policy space. So what we were explaining is that you can have the duties at the maximum level, and that's the level that you can't go beyond. But you still have policy space in terms of unfair trade, because those are not policy instruments as such. They are for countering unfair trade. So when a country decides to sell products in South Africa at a price that is lower than in their own territory, that cannot be allowed. It is unfair trade, because we also know the chicken story, where the Europeans and the Americans, they take the breast and then ship the rest of the carcass to Africa. But that is good for consumers, but for producers of chicken, it can be detrimental. It will kill industries because they are not really trying to trade fairly. They are trying to just recover any amount of money, but it's not priced competitive. But it tends to affect our industry. So when we are talking about policy spaces, moving away from that applied rate, which is in most cases at our maximum, and also looking at products that are being dumped, I hope that is clear. When it comes to poultry tariff investigation, what members should remember is that ITEC is mostly reactive, so we respond to applications from industry. It is rare that we can initiate our own because we are not a company. Companies will come to us and say, I am actually manufacturing this. ITEC, can you assist? Those are the investigations that we mostly do. It is based on applications that we receive from the industry. After the lockdown, when you look at the economic recovery, what we have done is to look at time periods, try to reduce the time frames of doing certain investigation. It was 6 months sometime, but now for those that are agents, we go to even 4 months if it's a distressed sector. And also, if you look at the APDP, the permits, we extend the life of permits where there's a need just to ensure that companies do recover. So that is our contribution to the economic recovery. A number of things. It's basically looking at these things that are related. If you've got a permit to import a certain product or a certain input over a year, and you are saying I couldn't use the permit because of the economy, the current economic situation of the country, we do give you that extension. At times, the extensions are granted at the policy level, which means at an executive level. But we come back to ITEC for consideration. And in most cases, what the DTIC instructs us to support, we do support after we do our own investigation. There's a question about how many women did you employ? There's question three, and it also talks about the companies that submit applications, including women companies and youth companies. When we look at the investigations that we get, what we do is some of the tables will profile the company in terms of how many youth are employed, but it is really not based on that. It's a company, firms that apply, but just part of the motivation under your reciprocal commitments, you get a better chance, or you can motivate by saying you are going to employ so many women and so many youth. And the commission does consider that and recommend to the minister to make a final decision on that. But in terms of the submissions that we receive from companies, it is not specific whether it's coming from a youth or it's coming from women. But the motivation can assist you if you craft it correctly for ITEC, and we recommend to minister to support these companies. The industry, there is no policy to protect industry as such. What we do is to work within what we committed to the WTO. So if we committed, that, like I mentioned in CARS, that we will not go beyond 50%, if you do apply 50%, you are still within your rights because it's what you committed at the WTO. And members, I would just explain to you that most countries that are at our level of development have got higher tariffs than us. When ITEC or when South Africa joined the WTO, we committed to very low duties. And when we look at the landed price of product, particularly from China manufactured product, they are very low. When we look at the landed price of product, particularly from China manufactured products, they come at a very low price. Even with the customs duties that we implement, you still find that the imported products are cheaper than South African products. And this is what is making it, making consumers buy the cheaper product. Consumers will not be loyal to a product just because it's South African. If the quality is good and the price is low, they will go for the cheaper price. So we are finding it very difficult to protect our industry. I'm not saying we are protectionist as such, but it is a reality that our WTO bound rates are lower than some other countries, including China. You find that they've got a huge policy space. They can move to higher duties, but we can't because of our commitments to the WTO. In terms of what we are doing to counter illicit products, there's a task team. There is a realization in government that we need to work together with SAS, ITEC, and other departments. So there is a task team that looks at this under-invoicing. Because we know that under-invoicing undermines tariff policy, where you can continue increasing the tariffs. If people declare very low prices, that tariff will not work because the percentage of zero is still zero. So there is a task team that we put together. It includes staff and ITEC, and they are active in terms of combating some illicit goods. We can do more if we have more resources. It is the task of SAS mainly, but ITEC provides support a lot to SAS. I will make an example. For instance, there was a provision to allow second-hand overcoats to South Africa, but we have seen that this is being abused, and there are efforts to get rid of the debate itself of allowing second-hand overcoats. And when you look at the cars, as I mentioned earlier, if ITEC was not active in this in the domestic market in terms of combating second-hand cars, it would be exactly like the neighboring countries. We will find ourselves in that position where it's difficult to even develop a domestic industry because of cars that have reached their lifespan overseas, and then they decide to send them to South Africa. We don't allow that. We only allow it under very strict conditions. So there is a task team that does that with SAS. There is a question that we were asked to define or to mention the countries that are dumping in South Africa. Most of the manufactured product members are from China. Then the agricultural products are coming from Brazil and European countries. It is believed that most of these countries, such as Brazil, are subsidizing their agricultural products in Europe and Europeans, and we find them, they arrive here at a very cheap price. But with China, on the manufactured goods, what we have seen is that their size, they are able to leverage economies of scale just because of their size. So in the past, what was protecting us was the quality of the goods from China. But it does look like the quality has improved a lot, but their price is still not catching up with the quality. But in most of our investigations, what we normally find is that they must produce because they've got a bigger market, and then they are able to leverage economies of scale. In the agricultural one, as I said, it is a number of issues. It is eating. We know they do not eat what they call that meat. They send it to Africa and take only the breast. European and American, and if you look at it, we can say, yes, South Africa, let's stop this from happening. Never allow the products to come in. But what we should remember is that South Africa also has got an interest in some of this market. So if you allow, if the Americans are saying your cars are not going to be exported to our market, if you don't allow your chicken, then you are in trouble, because you can manufacture cars will only be absorbed by the South African economy. So it's important to remember that as trading partners, we need each other, but we trade within certain specific rules. There is no way that one country can survive if it can stop products from other countries, because we have an interest in their market also. So they will retaliate. On the issue of interns, I would request the GM to talk to them. There is a slide where we wrote the number of interns that we take, but I would like the GM, Mr. Philip Zumela, to elaborate on this one. Thank you.
GM?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to honorable members. I will answer the questions related to corporate services as requested by the members. Firstly, I'll start with the question of honorable Mr. Cuthbert in terms of the recruiting of the CC and the economist position. Now, let me just state that the process of employing the chief commissioner is not purely an ITEC process. It is the process that is the department, the trade and industry department, and that is controlled over there. So I will not be able to give any information as I do not have regarding the position. We have just employed an economist who will be starting effectively from tomorrow as an economist who will close the gaps that we have in there. If I then move to the next question, which is the question of honorable Mali Major, the question was the program of integrating graduate within the NTT. Just to give a brief overview, I would say we had a program of integrating the graduate. As a matter of fact, a lot of our investigators currently and managers came from that program of internship. However, we've slowed down purely because of the finance over the years, as the DCC have mentioned that at some point we were a going concern. But we are just starting now. We have already employed about two, and we're in the process of appointing the other interns. But I must say the numbers are low, because we are trying to make sure that we, you know, don't go over budget in terms of the staff cost. Yes, that was the two questions that I needed to ask. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Mbambo.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, GM. There is one question where the member was talking about us confirming the trend analysis. It is actually correct. You explain it better than us. Thank you. It's there is a dip in the number of investigations around 2007 and 2009 because of the economic stress. But then the numbers increases up to 2019, and then after that there's a dip again 2021. This is attributed to the COVID-19 lockdown, as you pointed out, and thank you for that. In terms of looking at the impact of what we do, at ITEC, we have the economists that we have just employed. We which the GM has mentioned, that's one of the tasks that they do. So we do go out and check after 3 years, depending on what we the commission says, to check if this actually our instruments are effective. We look at the employment, we also look at the commitments on investment and increased production, and we come back to the commission and report back after the review. And the intention there is to just look at whether these instruments are having an impact or not in the economy. So it's something that we are trying to increase capacity on. The financial situation has made our lives very, very difficult. The chief economist was a very senior position, level 14, but because of the financial challenges, we have tried to get someone at a lower level. But it is important to just point out to remember that most of the people that work at ISF, particularly in coal business, are economists trained. It is just that they do investigations. So when we did not have the chief economist, we suddenly stopped doing impact assessment. What happened was that the functions was done at the team level. So instead of the investigators only doing investigation, they also did the impact assessment. But we now want to make it a dedicated unit again, where our investigators focus on investigation and the economists focus on reviewing the work that ISEC does. I will also invite our CFO to deal with the legal fees. And there's a question on legal fees through you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members and colleagues. In terms of underspending on compensation of employees, ITEC had a vacancy rate that was over 20% coming from the 2020-2021 financial year. And one of the discussions that was had internally was that because ITEC composition of spending over the years was taking up over 80% of the budget allocation, we then needed to look at how do we then reduce that composition of spending between what is allocated between employee-related costs and goods and services to maintain a healthy balance of the split between the two. And one of the things that was done was to say that whenever there's a vacancy, we should then be re-looking at certain vacancies to say, do we still need to fill that vacant position, or can we then maybe redirect some of those tasks and only look to fill critical vacancies in order to then reduce the split between employee-related costs and what is then left for goods and services. And some of those positions, hence, they became vacant for a very long time and in a way allowed us to then able to redirect some of those functions and funds to other activities. And the other issue for the 2021-2022 financial year, there has been a number of terminations that we've received in the financial year, and those terminations were in the form of resignations, retirements, because most of the there is a number of ITEC employees that are in their retirement years. So there was also retirements in the year, and also unfortunately there were deaths in the year, which were significantly higher than what ITEC has experienced in the past. And those are some of the issues that then contributed to the employee-related costs. And moving on to legal fees, there are a number of active legal cases that are ongoing at ITEC, majority of which are cases that arises from challenges against decisions that were taken by ITEC. So most of those legal cases are legal cases that relate to the core function of ITEC. And usually those cases would run over a number of years. But in the 1920 financial year, there was a number of cases that were then finalized, and hence the number of matters that are active as at end of March 2022 were slightly lower than what we carried over from the previous financial year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Mbombo?
Yes, unless there's a question that we missed, I think that's the end of the question, Chair.
Okay, did you speak about the unfinalized report? Or did I miss it?
Oh, the question from you. The trade remedy investigations, most of them are with the ministry, not that I said. It is just that our timeline includes the timelines at ministry. What's at the ministry, they are helping us with is to also negotiate with industry in terms of what they will do towards contributing to government overall policy. So we do keep an eye on them, the maximum time frame to do an anti-dumping investigation is 18 months. So it's coming towards the 18 months. We communicate with the ministry to try and pick up speed. But it's a lot of work that they're doing on a number of investigations at the ministry also. After I said, because the decision of the commission is a recommendation to minister. It is not a final decision, so the department still has to consider it, and also at times they do ask questions on how we arrived at some of the decisions that we take. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I note your hand. Honourable Cuthbert, I'm going to come back to you. Ms. Kruger?
Thanks. Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. Chair, can I add from the side of the department to some of the questions that have been asked?
Yes, please do. And also speak to us about the position of the commissioner so that the PC has an understanding of, I don't know if you are able to or whether Ms. Matumelu will speak to it, so that the PC has some idea how far along the department are. But proceed.
Thank you very much, Steve. On the position of the commissioner, the process is ongoing, quite advanced, but I will ask Ms. Matumela to respond to that, since this is for their decision. I just wanted to talk about the issue that the question that was asked about protection of the industry or by ITEC, and if that is the position that's normally taken, and whether that's the best position to take, and whether our industry is competitive when these decisions are taken. I think that as the members are aware, the South African government has chosen a growth and development path that prioritizes industrial upgrading in more labor-intensive sectors to generate sustainable and decent employment. Now, upgrading the South African industrial base in this way will encourage production and export of more sophisticated value-added products. So, this requires a purposeful intervention in the industrial economy aimed at improving dynamic and competitive advantages. And in this regard, tariffs are the key instrument of industrial policy. So when IPAC do their investigation and the minister, of course, evaluates the recommendations of IPAC and makes a decision, this is the perspective that is taken. There's no decision that is taken just without a detail. So there's no presumption of the benefits in a specific industry on a specific product. There is on each case is dealt with on a case-by-case basis. There's detailed investigation and analysis, and then a recommendation is made. There is a general guideline that tariffs on the mature and upstream industry could be reduced or removed to lower the input cost for the downstream, more labor and creative manufacturing industry, or that tariff on downstream industry, particularly those that are strategic from an employment or value addition perspective, may be retained or increased. But this will depend on the specific investigation and what IPAC finds in that investigation. So I just wanted to clarify that there is no infraction to IPAC, for example, that duties might be increased on certain industries. This is all subject to a detailed investigation and analysis by IPAC. IPAC also do rebate investigations, so at times a rebate is put in place to assist domestic industries in manufacturing and to make them more competitive against a broad range of institutions. On the issue of countries that dump, I just wanted to clarify that it's not a country that dumps, it's a company that dumps. So companies may be in specific countries, as the Deputy Chief Commissioner has indicated, and those companies may be dumping, but it's and when we introduce the duty, it will be against, it will be specific for companies in a specific country, but it's not the country itself that is dumping. So I thought just to clarify that issue. On the issue of under invoicing, that's a critical issue and of high importance to the department, and the DTIC with IPAC work with staff in the interagency working group. This is a dedicated working group looking at under invoicing and specific sectors. We have specific interventions that we do and with SARS. So IPAC and SARS will sometimes have operations at the harbour. They will, if there's specific information that is received on industry where IPAC issues permits, and they can have joint operations. So we do have these special interventions. This working group meets monthly. We can give some further information in terms of the specific interventions that this working group, interagency working group, is taking. But we are making progress, as the Deputy Commissioner also said, in terms of addressing under invoicing. So I also just wanted to highlight that. On the question on garlic and pasta, the anti-dumping duties on garlic and pasta, those have been approved by the minister and it has been implemented. So I also just wanted to inform the committee of that. So let me stop here, and if Mrs. Matumela can respond to the question on the appointment of the Chief Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Matumela.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a very good morning to the Chair and the Honourable Members. Chair, I will, in terms of the recruitment of the Chief Commissioner of IPAC, Chair, I can indicate that a call for nominations was published in the Government Gazette as well as national media. In the closing date for that was in April, Chair. At the moment, we are busy finalizing the shortlist, and we are hoping to finalize the process in the next few months. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simela.
Thank you, Chair. I think what I was going to say, most of them were Mr. Kruger mentioned them, but one thing that we missed in our response is the issue of counterfeit goods, which was asked by Honorable Mwate. The counterfeit is administered under Counterfeit Goods Act, which is under SARS. However, as Mrs. Kruger has already said, that we are part of interagency working group together with SARS and other role players, the DTI, National Treasury. We do have we participate and assist where we're needed there. That was that question, and the question of Mr. Honorable Mr. Nguyane, the effect of dumping in South Africa, the negative effect. Yes, goods that are dumped or entering South Africa at the market price, which are below cost production, causes injury to South African producers. So from our side, we have various instruments, particularly under trade remedies, which what we could do, we have measures in the form of duties that at the port of entry can be imposed, and we impose this just to increase the product that is being dumped in South Africa, so that it can be competitive with our local industry. I think many of the questions have been answered by Ms. Kruger and the DCC. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Cuthbert, you have a follow-up question?
Thanks very much, Chair. It's just one that was omitted, and maybe I didn't listen carefully enough. But the first question that I asked was the list of tariffs that have been applied for or then applied since the minister announced localization as the key industrial policy for the country. So, for example, it would be all of the 20% non-petroleum goods where tariffs would be applied for protection, so steel industry, furniture, sugar, the rest of it. Could we please have a comprehensive list of that? As well as the measures that have been applied and all the relevant information in a written format, please, within 7 days. That wasn't agreed to by the Deputy Commissioner or the Department. And then just a second question, has there been any consideration by RTAC to remove any of the remaining steel tariffs, considering the fact that late last year the Chinese decided to remove a 15% steel rebate because they are now greening the economy, and are obviously not going to be focusing on the export of steel as they have over the past 15 to 20 years. And I just wanted to understand if there's been any consideration to remove remaining steel tariffs in that respect, so that we can have a better understanding of their thinking. And then lastly, Chairperson, it's just there's recently been a ban on the export of scrap metal touted by Ministers Patel, Gordhan and Mbalula. And I just wanted to understand what is the RTAC thinking on that, number one? And secondly, have there been any other goods that have been banned for export prior to the suggestion of scrap metal? And if so, what are they?
Thank you very much. Dr. Tuaku?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to check with you, Mr. Dunsani, that on the issue of, you said we've committed to the World Trade Organization, is there a way that we're able to review those tariffs or that agreement? Because this thing is really hurting our economy. Is there a way that we could do that? How was it possible that South Africa settled for low
tariff, and then other countries, they, you know, as if you just said to me that their tariffs are very high. How did we really, you know, we actually end up on that in terms of size? So how can we do this? Maybe it must be one of those executive orders or something like that. And then you said that, can you just take away, is there anything that we are exporting ourselves to the other countries? Probably, maybe it will be wine, then maybe the fruits there and there. I don't remember that we are exporting any cars or any manufacturing parts, like, you know, these ones that can really, you know, increase our GDP and also creating, you know, jobs. I don't think it's, maybe you can, correct me if I'm wrong. I think one of the things we do is just fruit there, some small stuff that we are importing, but I don't think that we've got car parts or any big things that we are exporting. So when you say to me that if we increase, we might have a negative advantage, it will be a negative advantage for us because we are exporting some parts which are really beneficial to us. So I just wanted to really understand that. What is this trade-off? What is this trade balance that we're actually balancing with actually them? Maybe I understand that we've committed to a certain tariff, but to saying that South Africa might be hurt, you know, because if we lower them, then or if we increase them, then we will be, you know, we'll be losing in some benefits of the thing. And then another thing, Chair, I think that also it would be nice to remember, I think in our meeting that you said, I don't know, that's why I wanted this resolution tracker. So some of the things that we've raised, maybe they were noted in the meeting. For example, I said, maybe let us have an economic workshop, you know, just to look into all these things and have maybe a session, a breakaway somewhere, so that we could understand the schools of thought in terms of what can happen. But I'll wait on your chat. Those are just my small questions or contributions I need. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. As far as the workshop is concerned, we will take this matter to the management committee of the PC and then report back to PC on that matter. I see Mr. Simela Sanderstor up and Ms. Kruger as we respond to these additional inputs. I think Ms. Kruger.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just a quick response to the issues that has just been raised, the issues. In regard to the World Trade Organization and the reason for our low binding in the World Trade Organization, South Africa or the apartheid government negotiated as a developed country in the WTO. And so the commitments that we've taken in the WTO in 1995, there were some adjustments that was made at the late stage, but it was basically commitments that was made as a developed country. We are now, of course, recognized as a developing country in the WTO, but our bindings is much lower than many of our comparative developing countries in the world. So this is something that we, of course, that does have an impact. There is a possibility of renegotiating, but it is not just a decision that we can take to lower or to increase our binding in the WTO. It will have to be an extensive negotiation process and the procedure to go through. So that is not something that we can unilaterally do in the WTO to increase our binding there, and it is a legacy of the past. in regards to the question on ECR exporting, we actually have been having a positive trade balance in the last few years. So we export more than we import. We are our biggest export now to the European Union is cars. So it is we are still exporting majority of our exports is still in minerals of course and basic products. The second biggest exporter of cities in the world now. But we are also starting to increase our exports of value added products and industrial products. And as I said, we are now the biggest component of our exports in now, in fact, vehicles. And we're also looking at how to expand our value-added products to the rest of the world. In terms of Africa, and that's the biggest advantage of the African Continental Free Trade Agreement that we are negotiating, is that actually the majority of our exports or a big part of our exports to the rest of the continent is value-added products. So there's a real advantage for us in the African Continental Free Trade Agreement, the finalization, implementation of that, and then expanding our trade with our African partners. So just those two things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mbambo, do you want to
yes, Chair.
Conclude or see what
else? Yeah, there's one more or two questions that we did not respond to. We are going to provide the honorable member with the list in 7 days. We'll do that. In regard to the tariffs on steel, we do the applications on a case-by-case basis, so the industry applies and tells us that there is no domestic manufacturer of a product in that particular sector. We do a proper investigation and submit the recommendations to minister. Also, but that is on a case-by-case basis. It's not a blanket approach. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So that concludes our...
My apologies.
Who's that?
That's
Cuthbert.
Yes. There's still one question that's gone unanswered. I just wanted to understand if there's been an export ban that's been placed on any good before prior to the calls by the three ministers I mentioned in my previous question. Has there been an export ban placed on anything else? And if so, you know, could we have a few more details surrounding that, please, Chair? That's the last question.
Okay. Honourable Mbambo. Sorry, not Honourable Mr. Mbambo.
Yeah, yes, Chair. To my knowledge, there is none. Maybe can come in. From our side, we don't ban any products. We do not have the power to ban. Maybe the department can respond. Yeah.
Okay, and then just on the issue of the report on the list of goods that are subject to localization that Honourable Cuthbert had requested, we just want to indicate to ITAC that they must send it to the committee secretary, who will then disseminate it to the whole PC. So that we are all privy to the response. It will assist us all. Thank you, Ms. Kruger.
Chair, thank you very much. On the question on any ban, there isn't currently a ban in place. There was a short-term ban on scrap metal actually in 2020, just after, it was for 2 months, just after the lockdown, the level 5 and 4 lockdown, and just to because there was a shortage of scrap in the industry, but that ban was, as I said, just for 2 months. Currently, on no other product, there is a ban in place. The issue of scrap metal is being discussed widely in the media, in government, and we will see you know how that goes forward and what decisions is made in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That concludes our discussion on the fourth quarter 2021-2022 report on the financial and non-financial performance of ITEC. Thank you very much. Instead of breaking, as is indicated on our agenda, I thought we could, in the interest of time, members, just proceed straight to the next agenda item, which is the formal consideration of our oversight visit report, and to take in any additional comments and recommendations that parties wish to make. Committee Secretary, thank you to the ITEC team. Committee Secretary.
Hi, good morning, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Hi, Chair, thanks. Chair, we will just take the members through the report. We, at the last meeting, we've requested the members who wish to submit any additional comments or inputs to do so. We have not received any. So we will just take members through the concluding remarks and highlight some of the changes that was made. It was just, it's not changes to the substance, but just some corrections. And there was just one substantive change that we thought we just raised with the committee. Shall I proceed, Chair?
Thank you. Please proceed.
Chair, and just in terms of 9.1, we just, the change that we made was, is highlighted in yellow. It just is better. It's a it was a recurring audit qualification, and we made that change, Chair. The next one would be, was as a 9.3, we just added as well as the implementation after 30 days. I think we need to space the chair, then go down. 9.5, Chair, was exactly the same, adding the additions of the enhancement of ICT. 9.3, the implementation of, and the implementation of was the additions that we've made, Chair. Then we go down, Chair. Same exercise, the underfunded and unfunded mandates when necessary was added, Chair. Then go down more. Then, Chair, 9.15 was a substantive change because there was a misinterpretation of what was actually said, and I think I'll take the committee through that 9.15. The committee was concerned that the SAB's commercial directors, namely the co-administrators and chief financial officer, were unable to obtain directors' liability insurance while it remained under administration. This gap created a high personal risk for these officials in the decision-making capacity on behalf of SAP Commercial. We had something different, and in our engagement with SAP, they alerted us to this matter. It was in relation to the co-administrators and chief financial officers not able to obtain directors' liability insurance, not SAP's in itself, Chair. So that is the only substantive change that we've made, and we thought we'd bring it to the members' attention, Chair. Then we go, the next points are 9.18, we just added, which was a consent to the committee. It ends that particular point. Then if we go down, 9.20, we added in the case for attracting investment. It also reads better in terms of sentence. If we go down, 9.20, then we just added the word with the city of Tshwane in terms of the account that we were talking to, Chair. And if we go down, Chair, 9.24 was the matter that we still was waiting for further input. We did not receive input. I don't know if Margo wants to just expand on this, Chair, before we proceed.
Sheldon.
So
sorry, I'm looking for my mute button, my unmute button. So this was the matter which the NC had raised. There was a concern around the demarcation of, or the change in the demarcation areas, where the industrial park moved from Mpumalanga to Gauteng, and the possible resolution of whether it should, the ownership should be handed over or a partnership or something like that.
So we must check then with the party who raised the matter, the ANC, whether they are satisfied with the way it's captured there. ANC?
Yes.
Honourable Mbiyani.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it's probably that is what we wanted as ANC moving forward. The issue of the ownership in industrial park must be resolved. That's one key issue that we think is probably.
Okay.
And also the truth in of the report is the
thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We have that clarity, Chair. Then the, if we go down, I think there is this. If we go up, Mark, a little bit. If we just go down. This 9.26, Chair, we made an addition as its revenue is directly linked to Eskom's demand for coal and the tonnage of coal the business handles in this regard, which is kind of rephrase the addition, the original thing, but it basically comes down to the same thing. 9.27, Chair, we added as well. And
what is the thingy?
It was the same. It was the same. The previous wording, it means the same, but we just it's better crafted in the way we had it in 9.26. Now, okay.
Thank you.
Then 9.27, if we just add the word as well as it would be better, Chair, and then 9.29 in terms of is the same principle would apply, that it would read better. And then the committee was 9.30, the committee was severe that financial report in this regard was critical in relation to the primary agricultural of the IDC's corporation priority sector in support of the poultry master plans. It reads better. 9.31. Those are all those changes that we've made to the document that members last saw. We also forwarded yesterday a cleaner version of document. As we indicated, there may be we will do a final edit, and there may be slight changes, but it won't change the substance of the report in the body. But the concluding remarks will remain as is if the committee agrees to that. Chair, we have not received any recommendations in this regard, so the report is before the committee for its consideration and adoption, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any resolutions or is it just conclusions?
There is only concluding remarks, Chair. We have not received any resolutions for consideration or to be incorporated into the report by any party, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
So are we asking for the report to be adopted?
That's the process, Chair.
Okay.
We're asking for them to move for the report to be adopted.
Thank you. Okay, I see the hand of Honourable Cuthbert and then Honourable Mbiyani. Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, firstly, just to actually commend Honourable Mbiyani on, you know, the thought behind this oversight trip.
I thought it was most useful, and it really helped us highlight the challenges that, you know, the department faces, particularly in the Inkomazi SEZ. And I encourage, you know, members of opposition parties to, you know, have similar fact-finding missions where we find other issues around. And I think that there's nothing principally wrong in the contents of the report. I think it accurately reflects what we saw and what we heard. So I think we're happy to agree to this particular report. And I think in terms of oversight, let's cooperate further down the line, because I think that it can be of use to the committee as well as individual parties.
Thank you very much, Honourable Cuthbert, Honourable Mbuyani.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. Maybe my last will be on the issue. You are seemingly, Honourable Cuthbert is proposing that we adopt the spot. Then I wanted to check the acknowledgement so that we conclude the report. It was only the recommendations that
I think, is that the acknowledgements?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay, and after the acknowledgements, if you can just see the conclusion so that we see...
There will be no... What we will do, Chair, we will remove recommendation, Chair, and that's it. There
we okay. Go. Thank you. So,
okay.
Honourable Mbuyani, were you seconding?
Yes, in the, if we can include the, also the name of the staff member that was not unfortunately attended, but he was able to complete, conduct all the research and the contact, Mr. Tenda. I don't see the name of Mr. Tenda yet. I will
okay.
Second. Yeah.
Okay. I think we must find a way to I don't know how, because can I ask the committee secretary to just deal with that so that we agree how we include Mr. Medima's name?
So prior to the oversight, Mr. Medima, so we can add his name, it's probably written, but not be a transcript.
Yes, thanks so much. So then the report is adopted because it's been moved and seconded. Thank
Correct.
You very much.
We're not having comments from Honourable Burns this time, Honourable.
If you want to hear his voice, I can give him an opportunity. On
No, I'm still here. I'm listening to my friend.
Okay.
Yes. Comrade Matthew.
Comrade Matthew. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. So that deals with that agenda item. We now move to minutes. I think committee secretary.
Chair, we proceed with the minutes. I think it's
thank you.
Margot will, I think it's the minutes of the 6th of May will be the 5th minutes that we will be looking at, Chair. Chair, the minutes of the 6th of May, may I proceed, Chair?
Proceed.
Okay, the minutes we have, we received a briefing by the DGIC on the Copyright Amendment Bill, and we also received a briefing by Advocate Merle on the submissions that we received on the Copyright Amendment Bill, Chair. If we go down. Chair, we had apologies from Mr. Burns, Prince Burns Namashe and Mr. Mulder, and if we go down. Chair, the presentation was led by the Deputy Minister from the DGIC and Dr. Masocha. And then for Parliament, it was led by Advocate Van der Merwe. The committee then resolved it will consider the responses to the submissions on copyright at its next meeting and schedule for deliberation of the consultation with the caucuses.
Thank
the
you.
Thanks,
thank you very much. Those are the minutes for the 6th of May. If we agree that that's a fair reflection of the meeting that we held on that date, can I have a mover and a seconder for the adoption Honourable Malamacha?
No, thanks, Chair. I stand to agree with the Minister. I suggest to remove it.
Thank you. May I have the seconder for the adoption of these minutes?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. I second the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 6th of May are therefore adopted by the committee.
The next set of minutes, Chair, apologies, is the 10th of May. It was engagement with the Department of Trade and Industry and stakeholders with regard to the implementation of the South African Sugar Value Chain Master Plan. We had apologies of Prince Namasi, Chair, was not able to attend. And we had all the stakeholders that were invited. To Chair, the present engagement was led by the Minister Patel and together with Ms. Deputy Minister Gina and Ms. Matoboge, who will brief the committee on the presentation of the Sugar Master Plans. Stakeholders were also afforded the opportunity to comment during this presentation for their particular sector in relation to the Master Plan. It was Dr. Madadla, Dr. Funk, and Ms. Nzunelli and Mr. Lutche. They were given opportunity to comment and the committee engaged them on the issues that was of concern to the committee is captured in deliberations. If we go down, then the resolution, the committee resolved that they were concerned with the Controller Committee on Health and the Standing Committee on Finance and Changing Media on the impact of the HPL in terms of health and the economy, and we're considering engaging the downstream sugar industry as well as relevant government departments and committees on the diversification options for sugar cane. The meeting adjourned at 12:42 until the 11th of May, Chair.
Thank you. This is the minutes of the 10th. The 10th of May. I thought it was the 7th. Okay. No. No minutes on the 7th. And I think here we see this resolution tracker that Dr. Tswaku is mentioning must be activated. Honourable Moate.
Thank you, Chair. You just answered my question I would have.
Okay, yes. I think it's very progressive and it will assist the committee. Honourable Moate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I move for adoption of the 3rd minutes.
Thank you very much. Can I have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes of the 10th of May?
Mr. Mbuyani, Chief.
Honourable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I second the proposed 3rd minute. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are we looking at any other minutes, committee sessions?
We're looking at a number of minutes. We're looking at the 11th of May, Chair.
Okay.
Okay, we have deliberations on the submissions on the Copyright Amendment Bill. We also had a formal consideration of the draft report of the budget report, as I would say. And we considered some minutes, Chair. If you just go down to if there's any apologies. There was apologies of no, there seems to be, we have to just verify and check, because Mr. Burns and Machi's name appears on top as well as here, but we'll verify that, Chair. If I'm correct, I saw that. Chair, then we'll verify that. And then, Chair, we go down, the briefing by the DPIC on the Copyright Amendment Bill. We were led by the Advocate Pandemarwe, and the committee raised a number of issues regarding that presentation, Chair. If we go down. Then we formally considered the budget vote report, Chair. You requested that I read the introduction into the minutes, which is captured there. Let's go down, Chair, because that wasn't part of the document distributed. And the report was adopted with the 3.6 DAEFF and Green Plants and ACTP abstaining.
Then we proceeded with consideration of minutes of the 29th, the 19th, 3rd and 4th of May, which were all adopted, Chair. And then if we go down, the committee resolved that it will postpone this meeting for the 13th to afford the DJRC from the Baronet an opportunity to find common ground on the areas of dissonance regarding the submissions on the Copyright Amendment Bill. And the meeting adjourned at 11:12 until the 17th of May, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we have a mover and a seconder? Honourable Mbuyane, I see you are unmuted. Does that mean you want to move?
Yes, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the 7 minutes.
Thank you very much. And then Honourable Mokaung.
Thanks, Chairperson. And second, the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much. So the minutes of the 11th of May is duly adopted.
Chair, we are looking at the minutes of the 17th of May. We also continue with deliberations on the submissions received on the Copyright Bill, and we consider the report regarding the appointment of the National Law Police Commission, Chairperson, if you go down. Chair, we proceeded with the deliberations on the Copyright Bill led by Van der Merwe and Ms. Mishocha, who briefed the committee on the discussions they had regarding the issues where there was no common ground and that they found common ground on those matters, Chair, and they presented their position to the committee. The committee deliberated and raised some following questions. If we go down. Then the committee proceeded to consider the report regarding the appointment of the NLC chairperson. As indicated, the report was referred back to the committee by the National Assembly for consideration and report. The committee secretary, as well as the legal advisor to the committee on the matter, briefed the committee on the options available to the committee and how they can proceed in this regard, Chair, if you go down. The committee then resolved, Chair, after that input from the advocate Gangan and myself, that the two options presented by us be considered by the party caucuses and parties will present the position on the matter at the next committee meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we have a move and a second if you agree that that's a true reflection of our deliberations on the day for the adoption of these minutes of the 17th of May. Honourable members?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I propose on behalf of Honourable Cuthbert that we adopt this minute. Thank you.
You're being naughty now.
That's incorrect procedurally, Chair.
Yes, definitely.
Unless Honourable Mbuyane wants to be under the DA's whip, and that's what he's actually trying to do.
Yeah. Okay, then. So you're moving on behalf of yourself, Honourable Mbuyane.
Yes,
Mbuyane.
Yes,
okay.
I move that we adopt your minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, that was on a lighter note. Honourable Mochau. Thank you very much. The minutes are duly seconded and therefore adopted by the committee.
Chair, the next set of minutes was on the 18th when we deliberated on submission received on the Copyright Amendment Bill, Chair. If we go down. We all were in attendance, Chair. I think Advocate Van der Merwe together with Ms. proceeded to take us through those presentations, Chair, on the protection of the Copyright Amendment Bill as well as Performance Protection Amendment Bill. If you go down, committee raised a number of questions for clarity during those presentations. And the resolution that the party should consult the caucuses on the proposed amendments, which will be considered at the next meeting on the two bills.
The committee adjourned at 12:14 until the 24th May 2022. Thanks, Chase.
Thank you very much. I see Honorable Mbuyani's hand and Honorable Motaung's hand. Honorable Mbuyani.
Jefferson, thank you very much. I propose that we adopt the minister's presented. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Motaung.
I second the adoption of the minutes.
The minutes having been moved and seconded or duly adopted by the committee. Are there any further minutes?
The last set of minutes, Chair, was Tuesday the 24th of May. It was the briefing by the Department on Financial and Non-Financial Performance for the fourth quarter of the 2021-22 financial year, and it was a formal consideration of the referral by the National Assembly regarding the committee's report on the appointment of the chairperson of the board of the National Lottery Commission. Chair, we've done to her. To all members who were in attendance for that meeting. Chair, we received a briefing led by the acting DG, Mr. Khan, supported by Ms. Mahorama Fola, who briefed the committee on the DTIC's financial and non-financial performance for the fourth quarter of 2021-22 financial year. That report will be tabled for consideration at a later stage. Then we proceeded to the formal consideration of the referral by the National Assembly of the report on the appointment of the chairperson of the board of the National Office Commission. Chair, you started proceedings informing the committee about this decision you took on the 17th to take to allow parties to take these matters to their respective caucuses. And if you go down, Chair, you've then referred to the inputs received from the secretariat as well as the legal advisor on the matter going forward. If you go down. The chairperson also requests that Ms. Gangan then just provide some legal guidance on whether any legal impediments exist with regard to the two options available for the committee's consideration. And she provided input into a 3.5 chair, which is captured below chair. If you go down. Okay, then you also, you go up a little bit. Just go up a little bit, Morgan. Just go up, up, up.
Yeah, I think we need to just go through the...
The
two proposals and the voters.
No problem. You ask the committee secretary just to brief to the committee on the process thus far, and he informed that the first report was adopted on 12th of March. The names of Mr. Salani, Lamini, Tiana, Dr. Machimandila were submitted. And when the report was adopted, the names of Mr. Salani, Dr. Tiana, and Dr. Machimandila were submitted. Now, that report lapsed in terms of Rule 351 at the end of the annual session of 2021. And the committee was also subsequently informed that one of the candidates, Dr. Machimandila, has since passed away. And subsequently, the report was revised 3.12 on the 2nd of March and referred back to the committee for its consideration. And then Mr. Mbuyani, seconded by Mr. Bunch Nawashi, moved that the committee add the names of Reverend Chikana and Mr. Dlamini and submit a revised report to the National First Assembly for its consideration. Mr. Cumberland, seconded by Mr. McPherson, move for the committee that to add the name of Mr. Dlamini and submit a revised proposal. And there were two proposals submitted for consideration. The committee proceeded to vote on each proposal, and those votes is captured are 3.6, 1.6, 3.17, 3.18, and 3.19. The proposal of Mr. Mbuyani received the most votes, so the committee submitted the report for consideration and adoption, Chair. If we go down. This report was submitted to include the names of Jessica Holvey, that the committee recommends that the House consider the following candidates recommendation to the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition for the position of Chairperson of the Board, Reverend Frank Chikani, Mr. Dlamini, Dr. Bajiana and Mr. C. Zelani. The report to be considered. Mr. Miani, seconded by Ms. Mwatsi, move for the adoption of the report. Agreed. The DA and the Freedom Front voted against adopting the report due to the fact that the committee deviated from its original decision to only recommend three names for the Minister of Trade and Industry consideration on the appointment of Chairperson of the Board of the NLC. The EFF abstained. The meeting agenda 12 until the 25th of May. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Cuthbert.
Thanks very much, Chair. Chair, there's just one omission, which I did specifically ask in the meeting is included, is just to say that the DA's proposal, according to them, is in line with these three names that were previously submitted and agreed upon by the Portfolio Committee. I think it's important to make that distinction, because that's why we put forward the proposal that we did. And I think in order to accurately capture the record is to say that an amended proposal was then put forward by other parties, or even by the ANC in that matter, for that matter rather, so that it's just clear on the record, because this kind of paints a picture without the context, and I think the context is important.
Okay, I think Group 3.27 does capture that, but if we go up where the DA made the second proposal, let's just see how it is captured. If you can then just go up, just take us to that one, Andre.
I was muted, Chair. 3.14 is move that the committee add the name of Mr. Dlamini and submit the revised report to the National Assembly for its consideration. It's captured.
So what Honourable Cuthbert is asking is that you
we
capture
had,
the reason why okay. They propose as such, that it was in line with the previous decision.
We can add that, Chair. If Margaret can add it, we can add it and committee can look at it.
Yes.
I mean, basically it's just to capture what he said in 3.27 there, because I think that it's a better placed under 3.14, to be honest with you, Chair.
Okay, and we can repeat it also.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, if we repeat it, that's fine. We can agree to that. There is no issue.
Okay.
Would that suffice, Chair?
Yes, I think it does, Mr. Cuthbert, Honourable Cuthbert.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, great. Are you moving for the adoption of these minutes?
Yes, please, sir.
Okay, and then Honourable Moatse. Your hand was up after Honourable Cuthbert.
Chair, Ms. Mwatsi is experiencing some connectivity challenges. Chair, may I
Honourable Mbuyane.
Yes. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. I second the Honourable Cuthbert for the adoption of the minutes. Thanks for reviewing this minute.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So the minutes of the 24th of May is duly adopted. Are there any other minutes?
There's only one outstanding minute, that is the 24th, and we'll deal with it at a later stage, Chair. But all minutes for the day has been adopted and considered by the committee.
Thank you very much. That concludes our business for the day. If in conclusion, the committee secretary can just brief us on the next meeting of the committee.
Chair, the next meeting of the committee is scheduled to take place on the, just give me a minute, I just need to open
on the 7th of June, we will engage with stakeholders regarding implementation of the retail clothing, textile, footwear, and leather value chain master plan. And then on the 8th, we will consider the CND bill of the copyright and performance protection member bill. So no further meetings has been scheduled for this week, Chair.
Thank you very much. That concludes our business for the day, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Thank you.
Bye.
How are
you?
Thank you, members.